Blog Talk Radio.
For the last few days, several people have been calling me and writing me and telling me of how lonesome they are in this big city. And I don't want you to take that lightly, because that is quite possible. There are people who can come to cities like Detroit and like Chicago and New York and other large urban cities, having left their home grounds and their friends somewhere else and their familiar surroundings, and possibly who were active in their churches where they previously lived, and come to a strange city.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm only going to talk to you just for a minute or so this evening, because I have some very sad news for all of you, and I think sad news for all of our fellow citizens and people who love peace all over the world. And that is that Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Martin Luther King dedicated his life to love and to justice between fellow human beings. He died in the cause of that effort. In this difficult day, in this difficult time for the United States, it's perhaps well to ask what kind of a nation we are, and what direction we want to move in. For those of you who are black, considering the evidence evidently is that there were white people who were responsible, you can be filled with bitterness and with hatred and a desire for revenge. We can move in that direction as a country, in greater polarization, black people amongst blacks and white amongst whites, filled with hatred toward one another. Or we can make an effort, as Martin Luther King did, to understand and to comprehend and replace that violence, that stain of bloodshed that is spread across our land, with an effort to understand, compassion, and love. For those of you who are black and are tempted to be filled with hatred and mistrust of the injustice of such an act against all white people, I would only say that I can also feel in my own heart the same kind of feeling. I had a member of my family killed, but he was killed by a white man. But we have to make an effort in the United States. We have to make an effort to understand, to get beyond or go beyond these rather difficult times. My favorite poem, my favorite poet was Aeschylus. He once wrote, "Even in our sleep, pain which cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart, until in our own deep despair, against our will, comes wisdom through the awful grace of God." What we need in the United States is not division. What we need in the United States is not hatred. What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another, and a feeling of justice toward those who still suffer within our country, whether they be white or whether they be black. So I ask you tonight to return home, to say a prayer for the family, Martin Luther King, yeah, it's true, but more importantly, to say a prayer for our own country, which all of us love, a prayer for understanding and that compassion that of which I spoke. We can do well in this country. We will have difficult times. We've had difficult times in the past, but we will have difficult times in the future. It is not the end of violence. It is not the end of lawlessness, and it's not the end of disorder. But the vast majority of white people and the vast majority of black people in this country want to improve the quality of our life and want justice for all human beings that abide in our land. And what dedicate ourselves to what the Greeks wrote so many years ago, to tame the savageness of man and make gentle the life of this world. Let us dedicate ourselves to that and say a prayer for our country and for our people.
Thank you.
The last few days, several people have been calling me and writing me and telling me of how lonesome they are in this big city. And I don't want you to take that lightly, because that is quite possible. There are people who can come to cities like Detroit and like Chicago and New York and other large urban cities, having left their home grounds and their friends somewhere else and their familiar surroundings, and possibly who were active in their churches where they previously lived, and come to a strange city and feel lost. That is one way to be lonesome. Then there are others who have come to the big city and who have been caught up by its rapid pace, its fast movements, its gaiety, its revelry, its nightlife, its good times, and who have pursued the fantasy of pleasure in this manner, and have grown tired, have lived to learn that this does not satisfy. As I said to you in the sermon on last Sunday night, in quoting words from Jesus, that man cannot live by bread alone. Also, man cannot live by pleasure alone. Did you hear what I said? I said man cannot find ultimate satisfaction in pleasure. Did you believe it? Try. You'll grow tired of the grind and the rapid pace and the crowd and the parties and the reciprocation that must go on. They entertain you and you in turn entertain them. And then eventually you add up the cost that is involved. And you learn that you're going out the world backwards. I don't believe you know what I'm talking about. Do you all know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to say to you that man was made for God. Man was made for God. Man was not made for himself. Man was not made for pleasure. I mean alone. Man was not made for material things alone. Man was made for God. The reason why there are so many lonesome, frustrated souls in this big city, in other big cities, the reason why so many people feel maladjusted and feel useless is because there is no purpose in your life. When you are living, and remember, I'm not saying that man should not have pleasure in his life. Man should have pleasure in his life. I am not saying that man should not have the material things that he can acquire honestly and justly. I'm not saying that he should not have them. He should have them if he can. But what I am saying, no life is complete simply with the acquisition of pleasure or of material goods. For man was made for a nobler and a higher purpose.
Yes.
And if tonight you are listening to my voice and have been thinking that your life is useless, drab and unexciting and uneventful. If you're listening to me tonight and feel that you are on a merry-go-round that is just doing the same thing over and over again, day in and day out, remember that your life will remain thus until you tithe and involve it with something that is constructive, something that is lasting. To go through life with God out of it. To go through life with half purpose out of it. To go through life when your life is not dedicated or given over to anything worthwhile. Then you are likely to become frustrated. And some people have even cracked up and lost their mind. And some have committed suicide. Not because always what appears to be the reason. For usually our lives that go on the rocks like that are lives that had no purpose to begin with too much. Yeah, people say, people killing themselves over one another. Killing themselves because they lost money. Killing themselves for this reason or that reason. Or cracking up for this reason or that reason. Nobody after is healthy and sane that make God the center of his life is going to crack up. Is going to crack up. If you don't believe what I'm talking about, ask that old widow woman whose husband died and left her and who had scarcely enough money to bury him with no savings and with three or four little children to bring up and a meager job or a job that afforded her only meager means. And she will tell you, because God was the center of her life and because she put her faith in God and because she plugged in on God and therefore on eternal life, even though it was dark, even though it was hard, even though sometimes she didn't know how her ends were going to be met, sometimes she didn't know where her rent was going to come from, but because she held on to God's unchanging hand, she didn't crack up. The amazing thing about it, some of the women and even some men in predicaments like that have ultimately turned out to be successful enough to educate their children and bring them up as respectable citizens. That's a credit to their community and to their people. I wonder, do you know what I'm talking about? In the book of James, that is a question. A startling question. A challenging question. It is, what is your life? What is your life? Isn't that a challenging question? We know that there are over 2 billion people in the world today, according to the statistics. But what is your life? Are you just a number among 2 billion people? Are you just another person that makes up the population? What is your life? What does your life consist of? What are you doing with your life? For your time is not your own. As you hear people boastfully say sometimes, my life is my own and my time is my own and I can do with it what I want to do. But your time is not your own. Neither is your life your own. You are merely the manager of your life. That life doesn't belong to you. That time doesn't belong to you. That time belongs to God. That life belongs to God. The life that you have is merely an investment that God has made in you, and for which He is holding you responsible. The story of the talents is a story of that. One man was given 5 talents, and another was given 2 talents, and one was given 1. The one that had been given 1 acted very much like most of us act. He acted like it was his, and he could do with it what he wanted to do. And hence he, instead of putting his master's investment to an exchange, instead of doing with it what he was supposed to have done with it, to invest it and to bring back dividends for God, he buried it in the ground, so to speak, of indifference. And he did not anticipate his tragedy in, however, because the Lord of those talents came back at an unsuspected time. The danger of it all is that you are given the control and the management of this investment that God has made in you. And that you are left on your own. God doesn't stand around and punch you. That is, literally, he doesn't, to see what you're doing and how you're going to do. He merely lets you know that you are responsible for my investment. And that I'm holding you accountable. And that one day I will be back. And you must report to me for everything that you've done and how you have invested what I have given you. And I said the danger of it is you own your own. You own your own. But you know, sometimes some people cannot stand to be on their own. Some people cannot stand responsibility. Some people cannot make good managers, it appears. Some folk are waiting for the first opportunity. As soon as the boss takes his eye off them, they assert it. Hiding. Marking time. But that is dangerous. Because the boss of your life, the giver of your life, the investor that has invested in you, not what you should do, and know what he has made you capable of doing. Pray with me if you please. You're talking about a time clock He has put one within all of us. He knows when you punch in and when you punch out. He knows whether you are late or on time. Pray with me, there's no escape. And if you are lying down on the job, if you haven't punched in for the last year or so, if you haven't reported for duty for the last month or so, he know it tonight. You can't escape. He's made an investment in you. It is not left up to you to do what you want to do with it. You've got to one day account for the deeds done in your body. Why, I often say that when I look down on the casket and see those two little startling words, at rest, doesn't always mean that the person that's in there is at rest. It sometimes means the home that he came out of is at rest. Now that he's gone, or now that she's gone. Sometimes it means that husband is at rest. Sometimes it means that wife is at rest. Now that they have laid you out. Are you praying with me? Sometimes it means that the church where he was a member is now at rest. Because they kept up so much confusion. Sometimes it means the neighbors or the people with whom they work are now at rest. Now that you're gone. So brothers and sisters, we should all remember that there is one who has an all-seeing eye and who knows what investment he's made in us. He knows whether or not he left with us one talent or whether or not he left with us two. He knows whether or not he's left with us five. You see what I'm talking about? And he knows exactly what our report should be. That is, if it is a faithful report. And I think that all of us, and especially those of you who have wandered away, and who seem to think because you're getting by that you've gotten away. Well, remember, you may be getting by, but that doesn't mean you have got away. Pray with me if you please. I've seen people who committed crime and have gotten by for several years. And one day when they feel safe, satisfied, and secure, why, the FBI walk up and tap them on the shoulder and tell them exactly who they are and what they've done and where they did it. There was a man who gotten by but who didn't get away. And you talking about an FBI system. Why, my God has the best the world has ever known. He had all kinds of agents working for him. Sickness worked for him, and it's sometime one of his detectives. Oh Lord, and sometime misfortune worked for him, and sometime trouble will arrest us for him. And I don't believe you know what I'm talking about. Oh Lord, why sometime? Why expenses about our family life works on God's side. You may feel because you're getting by, you've gotten away. If you're wasting your life and wasting your time, if you've forsaken God and like a prodigal went away from home into the far country of pleasure and into the far country of revelry. Remember, great God, if you don't mind out like Jonah, great God, you know Jonah thought he'd gotten by too, you know.
and thought he'd gotten away too. Oh, Lord. But the Lord called his detective to win, and then called another one of his officers, the Clouds, and spoke to another one of his agents, the Sea, and made that old sea boil like a pot, and made the wind roll themselves into a hurricane. I don't believe you know what I'm talking about tonight. Oh, Lord, my God, great God, whispered to a whale and told him to be a submarine for him and keep up with that ship until he got Jonah convinced. Holy God Almighty. Oh, Lord. And eventually Jonah had to come on a wire. He bought his ticket and then went down below deck. Pray with me if you please. And hid from the crowd and from the passengers and lay down and went to sleep. And trouble arose on the old vessel. Nobody knew what was going on or who was responsible. Nobody knew that Jonah was on board. You know, sometimes the vessels of our lives are rocking because there is a Jonah on board. You may not know why he is or who he is, but all of the shaking and all of the trouble that you are having is because there's a Jonah on board somewhere. Oh, Lord. But the Lord made the wind, the lightning and the thunder. The sea wept for him to bring Jonah out. Oh, Lord. He may be working on you, and you may think you are hid in the hull of life. And the reason why the storms of life are raging around you, God is trying to bring you out of where you belong and where you promised to be. I don't need you to know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord, you ought to do like Jonah. Great God. You know, Jonah cost the ship so much trouble. Yes, he did. They had to throw off supplies into the sea. They had to drown medicine and food that was intended for innocent people in the far country. Oh, Lord. But on the account of Jonah, they had to waste it all. Well, you may be causing other people to suffer because you are Jonah. Come on up. Yeah. And do like Jonah did. Come on up on board. Yeah. And tell the world, I know I'm wrong. Yeah. I know I've been running away. Yeah. I know I've been hiding. Oh, Lord. I know why I'm going through all that I am going through. The Lord is my God. I don't even know what I mean tonight. Oh, Lord, if I were you tonight, wherever you are, if I'd been a Jonah, if I'd been like one of the talented men who've been laying down on a job, oh, I mean right now, even right where you are, right in your home, I'd make up in my mind, right now, you hear what I said? Get up in my mind. Like a wandering prodigal, I'd get up out the hog pen. Like a running hiding Jonah, I'd come out of the hole. Yes, I would. And I'd tell the Lord, Lord, here I am. Take me and use me in your own way. I tell him that. And I tell him now.
You must focus, my son.
God's out here. DJ Rock.
Check this out.
Be yourself and then free yourself. If you don't know yourself, you can't know yourself. You can't be yourself to even free yourself.
Right. So, love yourself.
be yourself and then free yourself. If you don't know yourself, you can't love yourself. You can't be yourself to even free yourself. Yeah, young black, gifted, exquisite, mind lifted, curse a cracker, I meant it. If you wanna be like that, that's in your bed. Instead of trying to spill my red, you getting egg. Kelly, Chi-Town, no coonin', self-hatin', no dry snitching. Game official, stick together like fam missing. These cracker motherfuckers doing the worst to us. So yeah, we on cold, ready to bust. Trust.
Know yourself, love yourself, be yourself and then free yourself. If you don't know yourself, you can't love yourself. You can't be yourself to even free yourself. So know yourself, love yourself, be yourself and then free yourself. If you don't know yourself, you can't love yourself.
Nah. Poetry, listen, I'm in the kitchen cooking up a composition. See, I spit the spoken word, never had to front it. If you put me on the stage with a mic, I'ma run it. Boss lady, 55, trendsetter, really live. All black, everything certified. Pour a little liquor for my homies when I heard they died. RBG, down a ride, chessboard, black side. Never gave a fuck about the other side. If you a bootlicking coon, then it's suicide.
Know yourself, love yourself, be yourself, and then free yourself. If you don't know yourself, you can't love yourself. You can't be yourself to even free yourself.
Right, that's right.
For someone facing incredible obstacles in your life, I want you to lean on God and trust His flawless record. He never fails. He can do the impossible. How do I know? I've seen Him do it.
I have no doubt my God can do the impossible.
There's nothing impossible for God.
There's nothing impossible for God. November the 24th and 25th. Right now, to be there.
For someone facing incredible obstacles in your life, I want you to lean on God and trust His flawless record. He never fails. He can do the impossible. How do I know? I've seen Him do it.
I have no doubt my God can do the impossible.
There's nothing impossible for God.
I know He can.
I've seen Him do it.
I've seen Him do it.
He can turn the mess you're in to an awesome miracle. Yep, He can.
I know He can.
I've seen Him do it. So whatever problem you've got, just let it go
and give it to God. He'll work it out. How do I know?
How do I know what God can do?
I've seen Him do it. I've seen Him do it.
Hallelujah. Oh, I lived long enough to see God do phenomenal things. Oh, yes, I have. I've seen God give people supernatural strength when they didn't know how they were going to make it. I've seen Him use the most unlikely people to do incredible things. So I wrote this verse.
For those of you that are less than perfect, listen.
When your life has gone astray, you preserve and cover you with His grace. That's how God works.
That's how God works.
I've seen Him do it.
And this is what I like about God.
Then He'll erase your past.
If you repent,
so people can
erase your past.
Building not made by hand. every day of my life, I'm begging you, Jesus,
Lord,
keep my body, keep my body strong, and master, keep my hand.
What a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, bright blessed days, dark sacred nights, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the skies, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, say, how do you babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Oh,
sit down there, get ready for November, with that set, November the 24th and the 25th of November, 10th meeting.
He's got the whole world in his head, he's got his home.
Let's give a big round of applause to the Caravan.
To you this morning, my friend, even if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper. Going out and sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Handel and Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well. If you can't be a pine on the top of a hill, be a scrub in the valley, but be the best little scrub on the side of the rill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are. And when you do this, you've mastered the length of life. This onward push to the end of self-fulfillment is the end of a person's life. Now, don't stop here, though. You know, a lot of people get no...
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a too big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop right on.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, Father, we don't need to escape.
escalate.